as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you.
And the cat's in the cradle. And what's going on, guys? It's Boss Man here. We are at our first episode of the Boss Man Prophecies with some interesting people that we plan on getting on here. What do you think, Jay?
Interesting people's a good way of putting it. This is Cousin Dave.
Yes, we're bringing Cousin Dave up.
All right.
Hello.
Hi.
Those of you guys that don't know, man, Cousin Dave, Dave Jackson, he's a legend. I'm telling you, in Springfield, this guy, Springfield graduate, he does, very few people know what a, he is a voiceover actor. I remember, one of my first memories is being at the Springfield roller rink, rocking out
playing,
to Fox, man. Yeah. That was so cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the roller rinks were cool to play, man. Fox was a good band.
Man, you guys, I'd seen your last show.
Yeah, the last show we did at Ramones.
Yeah, Ramones.
The old Ramones nightclub.
We're actually going to go check the place out after this.
Man, dude, if you bought Ramones, resurrect it, that'd be...
You that'd rocked be great. That place out for years.
Dude, we played probably Ramones more than anywhere else. Thousands of times, I'm guessing. We probably a thousand times, I bet we've played there. So through the years. So that was like home base. That was home base.
Listen, you missed out on the 80s, boy. you missed out on the 80s.
I don't remember much of them, but I was there, I think.
It sounds like he's still rocking out till today, though.
Oh, he is. Remember, he just rocked out some karaoke. I think the last time you were here.
Yeah, the last time he was over at the lake. I just got in my memories.
That song was hard, man. Sammy Hagar is not easy to sing.
He comes out here. What was the wait? What song was it? Is like
I can't drive.
I can't drive 55.
Turns out
he did a great job though. Like everyone around was like they were like shocked, like because everyone else that was kind of doing it, they were with karaoke you could get a little iffy.
See what's cool about Dave? He could do I Can't Drive 55 as Donald Duck even. Come on, let's hear your duck voice.
No,
I can't.
I can't drive 55.
It's not on key.
55.
There you go. He has been nailing this voiceover stuff. I mean, when did you start getting into the voiceovers?
Well, when I was a little kid, I would watch TV and I would just imitate everything that came on. I just watched TV and I'd imitate it. And my dad, bam. Shut up, watching TV. And then suddenly I started getting good.
Like what's some of the stuff as a kid that you're imitating?
Just Bugs Bunny and Shaggy and Scooby.
Oh,
and
Shaggy and Scooby.
Zoinks, oh, Scoob. The whole gang, you know. And then one day I was watching TV and I was doing that.
That was pretty good.
And I didn't know my dad was behind me. And then he got up and walked out and I thought, oh. And I heard him go and tell my mom, that little SOB's getting pretty good. I thought, oh, well, okay, that's the seal of approval. So I've been doing it forever. And then my girlfriend a couple years ago, I was doing just a bunch of crazy voices on a computer, and she sent it. She sent it somewhere. I got an email the next day saying, hey, we want to work with you. We want you to be one of the Lego Batman voices.
Lego Batman on
There's more than one. Yeah. So I was one of them. So I get this email saying they want to work with me. And I went to her and I said, look at this. Is that for real? And she said, oh, I sent that demo you did. I said, that wasn't a demo. It was just me being an idiot. And she said, well, you got a gig out of it. And it started from there.
Oh, that's how it started rolling.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That is cool. I mean, I remember coming over that one day and you're doing some kind of pet. I don't know. I'm like, what the?
A pet?
It was some kind of toy. You had some kind of gig going on with the.
Yeah, I remember when we went.
There wasn't no talking. Yeah. It was just what?
Yeah, it was just. It's called, what is it? Something like Fraidy Pets or Scaredy Pets, something like that. And it's a stuffed toy, and it's a dog and a cat. And if the cat or dog hears a loud noise, like a bang, it starts. And so then the kid takes it and snuggles it and it calms down. you know.
So you did all those.
Yeah, I did all those voices for that. And Lauren has a couple cats, and they were freaking out, man. I'd do that dog. And they would go hiding, and I'm like, dude, it's just me. Pretty funny.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. So I'm a stuffed toy.
A stuffed toy, yeah.
I'm just a stuffed teddy bear.
So if, yes, you can start purring, like, yeah, when somebody starts petting you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not go there.
That's cool, man. I mean, a lot of the stuff, I mean, people don't even know, you know, because nobody sees, you know, what a voice actor looks like.
Right.
I mean, what's some of the cool stuff you've been on?
Well, the first big one I did was for the NFL and Yahoo Sports. And
NFL?
The
no
NFL.
Kidding. How did you
know? No, I did a... this week on the NFL, one of those deals, you know. And so I did a demo to try to get the gig. At the time, I didn't have an agent. Now I have a couple, but at the time, it was just me. So I sent a demo, and a couple days later, like, we want you to do it. I'm like, oh, it's great, the NFL, wow. So they said, here's the voice we like. So they sent me a voice that they liked. So I for a couple days, I tried to imitate this guy, you know, and I thought, wow, that guy's good. I don't know. So then I have this big meeting. This is really embarrassing, man. I'm on the phone. It wasn't a Zoom meeting. It was everybody was on the phone, and they were directing me. And I could tell it was all these big shots in a corporate boardroom. And they said, Dave, try it like this. Say, you could be watching football, that kind of thing, you know. So I kept – everybody has their own idea what to do. So I'm doing this, and then there was a technical glitch for a minute. And I said, hey, can I ask you guys something? Sure, Dave, go ahead. I said, why didn't you just use that first guy? He was really good. And they all start laughing. I'm like, "What's is that funny?" And they said, dude, that was you. I said, what? They said, that was the demo you sent us.
Really?
So for days, I was trying to imitate myself, going, man, that guy's good. I can't keep up with that guy. Huh. It was me. And they were laughing. They thought I was the biggest moron in the world. And of course, I am.
I mean...
I shouldn't have probably told that story.
I mean, that'd be pretty embarrassing, but...
It was embarrassing. They all busted up laughing. I said, why don't you just hire that guy? We did, you idiot. Oops. Oops. So,
yeah. I mean, some of the other
stupid
cool things, you know, I'll stop over. I stop over every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even call anymore. I just come right in. I love it. I never know what the heck I'm going to walk into, though. So I go downstairs. He's got his little studio set up, and he's doing these audio books. And he's like every character. He's every character in the book, and it's like crazy good. I mean,
well, thank you, but
it is. I mean, there's no way that's all you.
Well, I try to put. You know, if you're reading an audiobook and different characters come in, it doesn't have to be like totally dramatically different, but just so you know, that voice is a different character speaking, you know, and I try to put some effort into it and do a little acting, a little thespian.
Well, I know you have some accents.
Well, for a while I was doing Russian accent. I just did a Russian audiobook. So I talk like this. I'm walking around the house. Lauren's like, Yuri's here. Yuri Dragunov is my name, and I walk around. What's up, cousin?
I like it.
Always in character.
Always. You got that British one.
And I just, you know, I just fall into it, you see. And I just, some days I walk around and I do it all day, and I can't help myself. And people are like, but if I'm doing an audiobook, I kind of stay in character a lot. And the British thing comes very easy. So I just, half the time I don't even know I'm doing it. You know, so I just almost forget how you normally talk. I kind of forget. And I sort of have just a little bit of it, you know, and I don't even know I'm doing it. It's just a touch, you know, and it's so natural. Sometimes I just walk around and I don't even realize, well, where are you from? Canal Fulton. Good heavens. How dare you? You know, so that's just that kind of thing. But, and the southern voice. You know we can do those.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, our whole family. Oh, lordy, the gumptions, we can do those southern voices. So it's just whatever depends on it. And there are times when I'll have to, I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. I'll have to YouTube a voice and listen, you know, wow, how's that, you know, get the cadence of it and stuff. And some are hard.
Yeah, like if you hear like a voice that you've never done before, what do you like look for to try and imitate?
Never done. I like to hear this one that he hasn't even attempted.
No, that's not true. Well, I did a Scottish voice and I was surprised it was kind of hard. A Scottish voice, you know, there's a big bombastic guy in the last, his name was, I forget what his name was, but he, har, 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 he's always laughing like this. And every time I'd come to a chapter with this Halston in it, I'm doing audiobooks right now for M.R. Forbes, and Forbes is a big sci-fi author. He's big shot. He's so I've done like 21 or 22 books for Forbes. I'm working on The Sheriff 5 right now. The Sheriff is like his biggest character. So when I first started doing The Sheriff, that didn't sound right. When I first started doing The Sheriff, he, whatever. Well, I didn't have a voice, you know, so I thought, okay, this guy is an apocalyptic sheriff trying to keep the peace on Earth, and there's really no law. And there's not many people left.
Better have the handcuffs.
So that's why I was doing the sheriff.
Right, right, that's what I was thinking.
So, so I gave him kind of a Clint Eastwood kind of voice. You know, he's kind of a cool dude. And, you know, and a couple fans, man, right off when I submitted that first book, a few fans were like, no, that's not how the sheriff's supposed to sound. I'm like, dude, he's like a cross between Snake Plissken and Clint Eastwood. Of course that's the sheriff. And now, of course, if they change the sheriff's voice, then people will yell, no, the old sheriff was, so it's just a, you know, it's just kind of a weird biz, but.
Well, that's how it goes with like everything.
Everything.
Whenever you change something, then they want the old, then they change it again, then they want that one.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, what can you do? So you just do your best work and hope it keeps going, so.
Well, we just got back from the Arnold Classic, and I'm thinking you could nail Arnold.
Arnold's one of those voices. It's fantastic. You have to practice it. Sometimes you can do it really well. Sometimes not so good.
What about head to the chopper? Is that, is that his line?
Get down. You know, get to the chopper. I mean, you get. But I like the Arnold who's soft spoken. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. He always says no to me.
When he was up there, when we were down there at the Arnold Classic,
was he there?
He was up there. He was talking on the stage. You know, everyone's just, like, people are just going nuts. All he's doing, he's just sitting up there talking. Half the time, you don't even know what he's talking about either. It's so, like, I don't even, like, well, half the time, those people that were at the Arnold, they're just sitting up there on stage talking about, oh, well, we got this lifter here today. And he's just like, oh, well, very strong. They just say the same thing about everyone, and it's just like, why are we?
I like Arnold, man. I like his work ethic. He's worked hard. He came to America, didn't really speak English.
And listen,
look what this guy's taking over the world, man.
He is, yes.
There's nothing. There's very little to not like about a guy like Arnold.
Kind of plugging the JJ Boys real estate thing. That's one of the best moves he ever did. Arnold was sleeping in the gym when he came over here, and he bought a duplex in California before he even did anything. And that duplex ended up making him millions.
Yeah,
it went insane.
He's a smart guy, man. There's no doubt, you know.
I mean, how do you marry a Kennedy? I mean, how do you do? I seen him interviewed, and he told Maria Shriver's, it was grandma. He said one of the biggest things that he regrets is he told the grandma that she had a nice ass.
He sounds like one of us.
I was cracking up. I was like, man. Oh, wow.
That's pretty funny, man. Oh, but hey, you got to hand it to the guy, man. Yeah. He's, you know, he came over here with nothing and he worked hard. And, you know, what governor of California, man, it's like the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world, you know. So I don't know. I give him a lot of credit, and I like his movies.
Yeah, and you got his voice down. So
I just, I would take some practice. I was doing it one day, and it really got good. But then I quit doing it for a while, and then it kind of, you know, you got to keep doing it, and then it just gets better. So
if you guys don't know, like all the, you know, you've done multiple advertisements for me. You know, like
yeah,
when certain events, you know, I'll. hey,
Melanie Lake, right?
Yeah,
here.
I call about, hey, man, can you shoot me over something? And the thing, it just blows me away. 10 minutes later, I'm like, damn, you already did that? Are you kidding me?
Well, I do. I mean, I do. I work. I get up in the morning like everybody else, and I go to work. I mean, it's not that much different from everybody else. I have coffee and I shake the cobwebs out and I go downstairs, turn on the microphone, and I just start working all day. And I work from, you know, 9 a.m. to, you know, time to quit. And, you know, sometimes there's emergencies. I'll run back down and fire everything back up. I have a big, you know, like on Alien, when the guy walks in, he turns on everything. He says, hello, mother. I say that every day. I sit down to all that junk and I say, hello, mother. And then I turn it all on and I... You know, and I do 5 or 6 TV commercials every day. And
every day,
at least. And if so, like at end of the year, it gets really crazy around Super Bowl time. Man, I'm bombed with. And it's all, there's not much stuff in Ohio. I work for a guy in Kentucky named Jason Epperson, and he has a company called Epic Pictures. And if you look up Epic Pictures online, you can see this guy, he studied under Spielberg.
Oh,
he's good. And he said, I was talking to him and on the phone, and he said, well, Dave, you know what? I just wanted to go back home. I'm from Kentucky, so I went back home. Oh. And I said, he gets work from all these regional businesses, heating and cooling places and credit unions and all this stuff. And he does these videos that look like Hollywood blockbusters in Kentucky for like very little money. And he just does so many, and he's so good. He's making a good living at it, right? In Winchester, Kentucky.
And then he just forwards you the video.
A lot of times it's just, sometimes, but most of the time it's just a script. And I have to stay within 15 seconds, 30 seconds, or a minute, whatever. I did one for Ale 8, that soda pop Ale 8.
Yeah.
And he showed me the video of that, so I knew that was going to be a relaxing video and a little bit of a southern twang on that. So I watched the video, and they're like in this beautiful park, jumping off cliffs into the water and stuff, so I could get the flow of the whole thing. But most of the time, it's just the last AL8 thing I did for him was just like this 50s drive-in. All these cool cars from like the 50s, and the girls are wearing the big skirts, and the guys have their hair slicked back, and these kids are, you know, watching this movie. And it was for AL8. And he said, can you sound like one of those old timey? He said, AL8, I know, you know. Come to the drive-in and drink an L8, you know. So it's one of those old school. Yeah. So yeah, but it's fun, man. And he's a great guy to work with. He's very easy to work with. I'll send him one or two takes. He picks one. We're done.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's what I do every day. So if you need a voice actor or somebody do weird voices, get a hold of me.
Listen, he he is the guy, man.
He's definitely the guy. I mean, he kind of said something about how, like, we've done ads through him. But, like, I remember we're going over there, like, for the one music thing he made for you, the Boss Man intro or whatever. Well, you know what I'm talking about?
The wrestling.
Yeah,
the wrestling intro.
Like,
yeah.
That, I mean, how long did it take you to come up with something like that?
I mean, music's pretty easy for me. I mean, I've done it for so many years. I just thought, okay, some of the things I heard before just – didn't seem to fit, man. If it's a wrestling, if it's your entrance theme to the ring, it's got to be.
Man, you nailed that.
Yeah. It's got to be something.
I love that.
Hard and fast, you know. Yeah. It's got to be powerful. You can't have some wimpy thing coming into the ring unless your character is, yeah, you know, Gold Dust or something, you know. Well, then, you know, you can play with that. But yeah, if it's the Boss Man.
The Boss Man.
I started with sirens. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah.
So, get her! You better get the hell out of the building. Yeah. Right.
It's the Boss Man. Yeah, it's awesome. It came out great. So
yeah, that was awesome, man. I really appreciate that, man.
No problem, man.
Nailed that.
That's what I do.
Listen,
man.
If you want to step your business up, man, this is yeah. So we'll get Matt. You'll want to call this guy right here. Here's his number. However you say to get a hold of.
Yeah. Well, you can just email. I mean, I'm working on a website right now, but you can contact me at guitardavejackson@gmail.com.
That's sweet.
Thank you.
Let's talk about some of the bands you've been in. I mean, and some of the people you've met.
Yeah, well, what about, like, I mean, people you've met, but, like, you go out to, like, these, like, parties and stuff. I'm thinking, is there, like, a cool, like, party trick being able to do some of these voice? Like, that probably gets some of the people going.
That's awesome.
Well, I was always – you know, I was never the best singer in any band I've ever been in, but I've always been the guy that speaks to the crowd. Like when you have Al McKenzie as your bass player, and he's got that voice, you sing as much as you want to, Al, because he kills it, man. He's great. And I've been lucky to be in bands with guys who can sing. And that was the whole point of the band Fox. When we put Fox together, we wanted a band, and we really looked under every rock for a lead guitar player who could sing, a drummer could sing, because we wanted to have harmonies. We wanted to be different, because a lot of bands are darn lucky if they have one guy who can sing. And we found four. And then if somebody wanted to quit or what happened, whatever, we would have to find somebody else who could replace them. And it was never easy. But I was always the guy that talked to the crowd. So it just, and now and then a funny voice would come out, you know, and it just, people would laugh and you'd tell jokes and stuff. One girl was heckling me so bad, just screaming at me. I'm trying to talk to the crowd and she's screaming at me. And I said, I was just about to tell a joke so funny it would have knocked your boobs off, but I see you already heard it. Oh, dude. Oh, it was mean of me to say, but dude, she was on me. I mean, screaming, Dave Jackson, you're a moron. Just whatever she was saying.
You must have really pissed her off at one day. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know what happened, but man, you don't attack the guy with the microphone.
Right.
Because everybody started laughing. She slunk away.
So she suddenly disappeared in the crowd.
Yeah, she was gone after that, but. So wow. Yeah, it's all the music and the voices and everything's just kind of all tied in together. And you know, now that I'm 1,000 years old, I'm starting to get pretty good at it.
Wisdom.
Yes, yeah, wisdom. With age comes wisdom. Oh my. George Takei.
Like some of the bands you actually toured with. I mean, you were this. You guys did at Fox. You guys were there, man. You guys
it was
were
pretty close.
Did it in the 80s.
People would be surprised how close we were. We were touring all over America. We opened for Blue Oyster Cult, a bunch of bands. It was just, you know, wherever we could get a good gig, we would take it. And sometimes we would do a couple of gigs a day. Like we would play. I remember playing at a high school, and then the roadies would tear our stuff down. I think we did a high school. Then we went and did a benefit. We played an hour at a benefit for abused children at a big fundraiser thing. Then they tore our gear down, took it out to a club, set it up, and we did another gig that day. And that's uncommon.
Three
but we
gigs
have
a day?
We have done at least two a day quite a few times. So we played I think our record is 43 nights straight. And we had a drummer that was in the band for 9 months, and he kept a record of wherever we played. And he said, dude, I was in the band 9 months. We played 211 shows. So I don't know what that equates to a year, you know, 300 gigs a year or something, but it was a lot.
Could you imagine if he kept a record of how many beers were drunk in that amount of time? Wait, how many days straight again?
43, I think, is our record. 43 days straight.
From doing either like impersonations or performing like that, especially that much, does your voice ever just like
you know what, I'm lucky, I have a nice strong workhorse voice. It doesn't give out much, but if I get like a chest cold, it's not pretty.
Because like I don't know, you see like a lot of the rock stars from like the 80s and stuff, they're like their voice is dead. Like they either had to change how they sing or they just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I know, it's sad. I mean, but I've been lucky, you know.
You do anything special to keep that voice?
I work it every day, man. You know, So, you know, I don't know. I'm blessed that I have a strong voice. You know, it never really seems to go out on me. But when it does, it's usually because I'm sick, you know, and then when I'm better, it's good again. So, you know, it's about it. I don't know how, you know, I see some of these guys like, tick anybody off, but right. David Lee Roth, man, boy, he was a beast back in the day, and now he kind of speaks on key. Hey man, he's doing what he's doing. But
think about what's his name from Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose.
Axl, yeah.
I've heard him sing like recently. It's not good.
No.
Like it's just not very good. And then the other thing I noticed was it's like certain artists, they change their sound and like especially how they sing. Like you listen to James Hetfield from Metallica back in the 80s, they have that like kind of just loud screech. But mm-hmm. then over time, he kind of completely just changed how he started singing.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's still going strong, too. So, I mean, he's doing something right. And, you know, Metallica, you can't argue with that. But, you know, some guys can do a lot, and some guys have, like, Brett Michaels from Poison.
Yeah. Have you ever met him?
No, I haven't. Everyone I played with has played with him, says he's a great guy, nice guy. More power to him. I'm not a fan of his singing style. I mean, my P stream has more range than that, you know. But
can you imitate him?
Oh, man. Come on. Well, it's everything's in the key of G, just kind of flows right here. He doesn't do a whole lot. But you know what? Hey, man, the guy's been successful at it. You can't take it away from him.
Yes.
But he just kind of just fine. He got his little place there. And he never goes too high, never too low. Just make it, you know. So good enough. Hey, man, I'm not bad-mouthing Brett Michaels. Good for you.
Well, who's some of, like, the real, like, famous people that you've either met or, like, even maybe had a chance to, like, work with or anything like that?
Well, I hung out with Johnny Ramone in New York City. It was pretty cool. Went to a monster movie convention with Johnny Ramone. He was great. You know, it's just been so many people through the years. I mean, Blue Oyster Cult thought that we were a girl band because Fox, I said, you know, it even says on ticket stuff, Blue Oyster Cult and Fox. And they were like, oh, cool. They thought,
look at them spandex they're wearing. Yeah, look at that.
Look at all that hair. So for some reason, Al took offense to that. You know, I was driving down the road listening to Rock 107 or MMS or something at the time, and the guys in Blue Oyster Cult were all excited to see, you know, play with this opening act who was a bunch of girls, hot chicks. Well, and they got us. And Al, for some reason, they gave us a big, nice dressing room and, you know, buffet and all this stuff, and we ran out of beer. So Al McKenzie decides, I'm going to go steal Blue Oyster Cult's beer.
Oh, hey,
he goes in their dressing room with his little cart, and he wheels into our dressing room all their beer. So we didn't know it at the time, but he confessed this much later. So, what kind of beer were they drinking?
That's good. It's probably the good stuff.
Probably better than what we had. So. But
that's a good story, stealing Oyster Cult's beer.
That's just... I heard.
All right. Yeah, what I heard.
The rumors are. So, just stuff happens all the time. Just a big crazy. Everything you read about and hear about, most of it is pretty accurate. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
So you're also a big comic guy fan, sci-fi.
Yeah, man, I love.
It's something that you and I probably have in common, you know. We talked about it before, the aliens. Yeah, the aliens.
Oh no.
I don't know. We won't get too deep into the alien one because we could have a whole entire show by itself.
Oh,
on the alien
man,
stuff.
Dude, I don't want to think about the alien thing. Seems like there was another thing. Something else I was going to tell you, but I don't seem to quite recall what it was.
Can't quite recall.
I like your footwear.
Yeah, you like those?
Yeah.
Air on my toes here.
That's some serious hillbilly stuff. Socks and bare feet. No, we don't call them hillbillies anymore. They are free range Americans.
All right.
That's what we're going to call
them. Yeah, I like it.
You can't use any term like that because that's too offensive. Right?
Oh, I know. In this day and age, you can't say anything. So,
kind of like the people, kind of like the people that go into the houses and steal our copper out of the rentals. You know, I call them urban miners. They're mining.
They're looking for mineral resources,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right. They're urban miners. Heck yeah.
Oh, that's lame, man. Thieves are the worst. Oh, man. I came out of a recording studio one time. We recorded late at night because that's just our time. You know, if we had a night off, we'd go to the recording studio. I came out to hear a mix on my cassette. It was cassettes back then. And I looked, and my dome light was on. I'm like, why is my dome light on? There's a big old coat hanger hanging out of my door. I'm like, oh, man. So they had stolen my stereo, everything, and they left all the heavy metal tapes that I had. So it was obviously someone who was not a metal fan.
Right.
Unfortunately, there was a live Fox in the deck that they stole that I'll never get back at the Akron Agora. And it was probably the best, one of the best shows we ever did. And that was gone forever. Somebody probably heard that, threw it in the trash. I don't like metal. Bam. We played this one place, and the guy told us he didn't want any heavy metal. So we're like, really? He said, nope. Now, he was bummed out because we didn't. He wanted us to look prettier than we were. He wanted, you know, because he said, you guys look like a bunch of bikers, and I don't want metal. And we're like, okay. So, of course, we went on stage and played the heaviest. We were playing Damage Incorporated by Metallica and all this stuff. And the crowd went nuts because they knew. It was a place in Youngstown, and the crowd knew no metal allowed. So you had to play pop rock or whatever. And we could do that, too. But for that night, nope. We were playing King Diamond. We were playing Metallica. We were playing Megadeth. We were playing a couple of our own PTL, these things that are real heavy. That guy went nuts. The crowd went crazy, and he went nuts. He was like, I'm not paying these guys. So I chased him around. It got nasty. So it was a kind of a thing. So I was surprised he let us play the next set. We went upstairs where the dressing room was, and our drummer Keith found a telephone that was working. So Keith says, I know what I'll do. So he calls the Tokyo Hilton, and he starts talking. He's talking to somebody who can speak English, and he's talking about Godzilla films and all this stuff, and running this guy's phone bill up because the days before cell phones, man, it was expensive. Right. And he's talking about all this crazy stuff, and I can't even imagine what his phone bill was after that. And he's like, Keith, that was one of the funnier things Keith ever did. And he's just talking about just the Ultraman and Johnny Sacco and Godzilla and, you know, sushi, anything kind of Asian he could think of. He was on it and talking just, and this person was real receptive. Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot of sushi bars here. So he paid us, and he had a big old phone bill, but Keith was in his glory that day. So pretty funny.
Right. So. Well, you're definitely an interesting character. You
Thank
know that,
you, sir.
I'm glad to be able to get you on here for our first.
I didn't know I was going to be on. I would have dressed the part.
Yeah, because I kind of surprised him because we're actually going right after this to look at Ramones.
Yeah,
Club Dirty, whatever they call it.
But, yeah, it's for sale. So it'd be really nice if somebody could resurrect a nice live music venue. That'd be great. Put country in there.
Country. I can see country on Fridays.
Yeah, man. Just something for the musicians to do, and you know, people around here to enjoy. There's just not that much going on anymore. So times have changed.
So once again, I think we can kind of go over Dave Jackson. Reach out to him. You need voiceovers done.
I'll do it.
Any kind of work, he's got it. He's got all kinds of interesting stories, funny stories.
Oh yeah.
Rock star back in the day.
That's still a rock. Once you're a rock star, you're always a rock star. Like, yeah.
I don't know about that, man. I don't feel very rock starish anymore. But hey, I still dabble in music. Still do the voices. Still kicking. So,
all right, guys.
Well,
all right.
This was fun. We'll have other people. I like doing stuff like this.
Lesser
I like doing
guests.
like doing the real estate stuff. Like having different guests on here. They're just talking. It's a lot more casual, I guess you would say, a little more.
Getting some interesting people. When Al's back in town, man,
Al would be a great guest.
Like to hear both you guys in here at the same time. You know, hearing some of the crazy stories.
Him and I are the only ones left alive, man.
Oh, Fox.
There's a picture of us. It's.
Oh my God, that brings something up.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys did the first ever bathroom concert here.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, it was great.
Did you still have that on tape?
I don't know, man. It started raining. Yeah. We ran into the bathroom playing.
Yeah, I was here, and I was like, oh, man, that's so cool. And then next thing you know, the rain broke. I mean, it was just pouring and pouring and pouring.
Well, let's play anyway.
Yeah, let's play anyway. Let everyone jump in the bathroom. It was
100 people crammed in the men's room in there. Just,
dude, that
we're
was
just
cool,
jammed.
Man. Listen, that – do we have video of that?
I don't know. I have to –
I mean, I know.
I'm sure there's video out there.
A bathroom concert.
Dude, there's videos that I wish weren't out there. There's a picture somewhere of
sure.
Kenny, Al, and me on stage with our pants down and just playing in our underwear with our pants around our ankles. I have no idea why we did that. I think Kenny's pants fell down, and I thought, well, that's kind of funny. So I pulled mine down, and Al looked at me and went,
Well, why
what
not?
The heck?
Why
so, not? So we're all standing there. There's a picture out there of that, but
I mean that couldn't be alcohol related, could it? Oh, I doubt it, man.
Get out of here, please.
Yeah, all right. All right, cuz. Well, hey, I'm glad you came on, and this has been fun. You know, learning
about it was great.
All the ins and outs, man. It's so unique, you know, because you know a lot of people don't know about these voiceover actors and you know NFL and you know little dog pets and you name it, he's done it. That's cool, man.
It's interesting, yeah. It
so,
is.
So hey, until next all time right. And this summer, man, I want to see you out here.
I'll be
and,
here.
Yeah, he's the here. Ultimate rocker out on karaoke still.
Yeah,
but that's just one part. So we'll see. Hey, you know how to sign off here.
See you.
See you.
See you.
See you. Right. I mean, to make a living out of voice acting, I mean, could you tell our, you know, tell the people out there, I mean, what it takes, what have you done to, I mean, how do you do it?
Well, I get this question a lot, and I've tried to help 10 or 12 people, and it's, a lot of times it's just too much work. I had a guy, I got a hold of him later, said, hey, how you doing on this? He said, I gave up. I'm like, so he just didn't want to put the work in. I found a program called Audacity on my computer, my laptop. And it's just it's like a Pro Tools, but it records one track at a time. It's very simple. And it turns out that tons of voice actors just use that track. If you're not recording drums or something where you need multiple tracks, Audacity is very cool. And I looked, I'm like, okay, what sounds the best? Pro Tools, Reaper, Audacity, GarageBand. And it turns out they all sound exactly the same. It's just how many bells and whistles do you want? I need very few on voice acting. I don't need much, you know.
So you would they would purchase a tool like that, and then
it's free. Audacity is totally free. GarageBand, I believe, is free if you buy an Apple product, I think. I invested in a really good mic. I have a microphone that's maybe $8,000 or $9,000, but I didn't buy it. I had a friend who owns a recording studio build it for me from specs. It's a 1958 AKG tube. Like you got it's got a little unit. You turn it on and it warms up like an old TV. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. And it warms up because there's a tube in there. So you need to invest in a decent mic. It doesn't have to be anything super duper fancy. Just something a little better than, you know, one of those little balls you sit on your microphone, you know, or you sit on your desk. So it's got to be something a little better. So that's basically it. Audacity's free. Microphone, you can get away a couple hundred dollars, a couple hundred bucks, decent mic.
You talked about, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you talked about your agents. Like, you actually have agents in this?
I do. I work with Big Mouth Talent out of Chicago and Crown North Talent out of Los Angeles. And they send me auditions to do, and you do auditions. But they have a corral, a stable of other voiceover guys. So whoever they pick gets it. And the more, once you get a couple, then you start getting more and more. And I just kind of cold called them. I sent them a demo saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for an agent. And they those two got a hold of me. So I don't know. I've had a few times where they've both sent me the same gig and I'm like, uh-oh. So usually I don't even do those. I just think, I'm not going to get in a war here. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Oh. But I just got started. That's how I got started. And there's a couple of voiceover places you can go to. They're pay to play. One is Voices 123 and the other one is voices.com. And I forget how much it is, $40 a month or something. And they'll send you just tons and tons of offers. And you just do the auditions you want and send it back to them. And if you get the gig, and I started that way too. I wasn't really getting enough. So I started doing that. And there is one free one that I did very well on, that led to some good gigs, and that's called Upwork. And Upwork is free. So if you get Audacity on your computer, very easy system. You can see your little voice wave. Get a decent mic, couple hundred bucks. Join Upwork, free, and start doing auditions. And if you get a few, take a little of that money and stick it into Voices123, voices.com. And then, you know, you roll from there. Get an agent. The next thing you know,
you're doing video or audio books with 10 different characters and you're every voice in the book. I mean, that just blows my mind.
I really like video games, man. I really enjoy I like to play video games and I like doing the voices, but there's not a ton of dough in the video games. People would be surprised. Oh, man, I thought it would pay better. Eh, not so much. Unless it's a really, really big game, you're not going to make a ton of dough on something like that. Usually it's the big companies, the NFL and things
like that. Talking about you like to do those. Well,
I love it. You're acting. You get to do some acting. In a video game, it's not just a voice. It's kind of an acting gig.
At night, it's all I hear him in there is yelling. It is games. So we got to get you in there, and you could be like, I don't know, you know, just talking about you. That. Listen, I think that would be huge. That would be kind of cool.
Funny.
So yeah, that would be neat.
So that's how I got started. And, you know, that's the advice I would give. And I've tried to help some people, but I don't know. The
more you help, like you could lay out the, you know, here it is. Here's exactly how you do it. And the people that actually take that and actually go roll with it is slim.
I'm working on a website right now and a YouTube channel and maybe a TikTok or something like that. And I'll have little videos explaining precisely how I do certain things, and I'll have the camera look at the screen to show what the level should be and what I do to do it, and hopefully that'll help some people too. That's my little New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I've always believed, you know, the more you give, the more you get. So
I try.
Yeah, I've always said that. So if you're out there, you know, you're helping people out, and you know, it comes back to you 10 times.
It's a time thing too, man. I'm working a lot, you know, so it's like I don't have a ton of time. So I thought, and I've been asked over and over, so I thought, you know, I'm going to do some videos showing what I do. If they ask, hey, Dave, how can I do this? I'll send them the video. Here's how I did it. Good luck to you. So
that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.